Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
To Mo Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, all right, all right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. Back once again with the full crew. You know, we've been doing these top fives, putting JR and now Miles to work, but we're back. We got everybody here, and we got some fun stuff to talk about. I think we got a good episode. I think it's going to be another good one for you, but before we jump all the way into it, let's go around the room, see how everyone's doing. JR. You know, as I like to call him, the hardest working man in all of draft Twitter. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Can't complain at all. Ready to record another great episode.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. You sound a little beaten down there. What's been going on with you, man? Like this podcast circuit finally starting to wear you out?
Yeah, man. I'm just ready for the draft to get here so I can relax, eat my pizza, and enjoy the draft.
All right. Well, wide receiver one and everyone's favorite puppy parent.
What up?
What's going on, man? How you doing? What you been up to?
It's working a lot. Work's been pretty busy. So been busy, just, you know, living the dreams.
Living the dream. How's Teddy doing?
He's looking at me right now like, you best not say nothing bad about me. He's for real, like, staring at me right now.
Yeah, he's keeping you in line. I like it.
It's his house, so.
And last but certainly not least, the man, the myth, the legend, the sexy prince. What's going on, Yinka?
Not much. I'm just licking the Cheeto dust off my fingers right now.
We've gone for a long time without Yinka doing something that would just disappoint JR.
There we go.
We just start off and Yinka's licking his fingers before we start the podcast.
Yeah, I felt weird the fact that I haven't done anything that's like really weird for me to say on air. So
it's because you haven't done anything but Black Panther for a minute.
So. Yeah, see? At this point, I'm like, all right, well, I gotta, you know. Jason just called me out. I'm like, crap, I gotta get this stuff off my fingers. So that's the quickest thing that I could think of.
I'm in disbelief right now.
are you really, JR? At this point, are you really in disbelief?
I am.
Hey, why does Joel Embiid look like a Batman?
I think you said he was going for Phantom of the Opera, bro.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get into this thing before
the Dark Knight Rises.
Derailed here. JR kind of mentioned it. He said he's gonna kick back with some pizza. But we'll go around for the rest of y'all. What are your plans for draft weekend? What are you going to be doing while we go through all this? JR, is it just pizza, draft? What else other than podcasting, of course?
Yeah, so my usual pre-draft ritual is just, you know, grab a box of pizza, have my two laptops up for the post-draft article, and the other one will have my big board up on it, and I'll just be deleting names as we go so I can just see who the best player is left on my big board, of course, at pick 30 and entering the second round.
Nice, nice, nice. I like that. Two laptops and what you gonna have on those pizzas, man?
I'm a pepperoni guy. I'm real simple.
All right. Miles, how about you, man? What's your draft weekend looking like? What you gonna be doing?
Yeah, so every year I take the Friday of the drafts. I take that day off of work. Just something I always do. Just so that, you know, I can, you know, stay up late, watch the first round on Thursday and kind of relax on Friday and, you know, kind of research, see who's the best available and head into Friday, all that kind of good stuff. But I like to get some beer, get a little good variety. I like Pacifico is one of my favorite beers. So I like to usually get six or 12 pack of that and get whatever. Last year, I think I made nachos. So I'm not sure what I'll make this year, but try to switch it up sometimes. Other than that, I kind of go dark. I'm not like y'all. I'm the opposite of y'all. I can't just sit on Twitter and let other people tell me what the pick is as I'm watching. So like, just kind of like when, you know, watching Vikings games, I don't like people like, I don't like to see all the reactions, all that stuff. I just, you know, I like to just kind of watch it live and see, you know, see how it goes and kind of react on my own way. So.
I'm the same way. I just tweet out thoughts. I don't read replies or the timeline during the draft because I hate picks being spoiled.
Yeah, I hate that part. Like, and I understand people that do it and they need to do it and all that, but I just go dark. Maybe I'll tweet my reactions to some stuff. If something really surprised me, maybe I'll jump out and, you know, tweet it or something. But, you know, that's the kind of the extent of it.
Okay. All right. Now, Pacifico, I mean, might need to holler at them there, see if we can get some sponsorship. They're with the Modelo group. They got a couple of beers I like there, Miles. So I'm going to need you to work on that. Yeah, see what you can do, you know?
Yeah.
Tell them we'll keep giving them shout outs, you know? Country of origin, Mexico. If we got any listeners from Mexico, holler at us. Let's see if we can get that Grupo Modelo sponsorship rocking through here.
Add some tequila in there and we're good.
Hey, let's do it. Let's do it. And Prince, I mean, we know you're going to be doing some big things.
Drinking a wine. Again. Drinking a wine cooler.
Well, Prince, no, man. My mom likes wine coolers. I don't drink at all. So it's like, you know, I just get some lemonade or something.
I know we went out one time and Yankee was like, let me get the root beer in the bottle. I was like, ooh.
Hey man, we turned up that night. So you can give me there on some root beer.
Your friends that don't drink are great though. That's great. Yeah. Friends that don't drink are amazing.
But see, that's the thing is like everyone who says like that friend that doesn't drink, they always try to come at you in a way that's like, they're trying to be nice. Like, I am really proud of you, the fact that you don't drink. But, you know, in those kinds of situations, like, man, you don't drink. Then you can't really have that same level of, I don't know, like two people who are just like passed out on the ground type stories, whatnot.
You can't act a fool and have a reason to act a fool.
But see, that's the thing. It's like I act a fool all the time. So it's like,
need a reason.
I don't need a reason.
Yeah, Yinka don't need a reason. He'll be in it. But Yinka, what you doing? What you doing for draft, man?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's gonna be tight for me because I tried to plan it out, but I didn't even realize it was like the same draft day. But I'm trying to go see Infinity Wars. I try to get an early showing, but you know, it might not work out with as long as the movie is to get back.
Sure, he's disappointed in your planning right now.
Yo, the tickets were bought like well ahead of time.
No, you knew this. You knew what you were doing.
My boy's the one that he's the one that always buys them. And we just reimburse them and stuff.
But you're not getting home before 10:30.
Nope.
I'll say 10:10. I can get home by 10:10.
Where's the theater?
It's
where theater you go?
I always go to AMC Rosedale. It's like 10 minutes from me.
Downtown Minneapolis.
Miles, it's only like
it only takes me like 10 minutes to get there.
I still don't buy it. No.
You can be following along on your phone, Yinka.
Hell yeah, I'm gonna be following along on my phone.
Okay. During the movie? Come on now.
That's
your draft day.
No, because like the update, I'll be getting the updates and all that. So I'll have it like low backlight or whatever the case is. So you know, I can see the tweets that are not the tweets, but like the NFL updates that are coming in and stuff. But you know, I'm gonna be fairly glued to what's happening. Basically from pick 1 to 20 is when I'm basically going to be ignoring the draft.
Okay.
Because you never know. Okay. You never know.
All right. Well, let's get this thing moving. Let's hop into it. We got a little bit of Vikings talk here, a little bit of news, a little bit of surprising news, I guess, just based on some of the conversations that we had. Surprising to us. But, you know, Vikings continue to just, you know, dole out some money this offseason. And our man Eric Kendricks was signed to, you know, the big numbers that were released. Was it 5 years, $50 million? The actual number is a little bit different, but 5 years, $50 million, $10 million per for Eric Kendricks. JR, what were your first thoughts when you kind of heard of the extension, heard the numbers, and then I guess your thoughts on kind of the order? Because I know that Kendricks wasn't really the first guy that any of us were really thinking about when we were talking about guys that the Vikings kind of needed to sign of their core.
Yeah, so when I initially read it on my phone, I was like, man, is this true or is it real? Because I get Ian Rappaport's tweets sent directly to my phone. And once that popped up, I was really surprised to see that. But I am happy to see him get re-signed. Now, I thought he would be a little bit lower on the pecking order as far as who would be prioritized out of him, Diggs, Hunter, and Barr. I thought he probably would be the last guy that was prioritized out of that. But once I sat back and thought about it, it made more sense and why they did him first, because middle linebacker is sort of a devalued position, and going to the negotiating table, his deal was probably the easiest out of the four, considering that the other guys play premium positions, especially Diggs and Hunter. So the terms didn't really surprise me at all. We knew that it would be heavily front-loaded because we all know that they want to have some flexibility on the back end, especially with Diggs and Hunter expected to command the most money out of the four.
Okay. All right. And Miles, how about you? What are your thoughts? And I guess, you know, I guess JR makes some points here that maybe they just got it out of the way because it's the one that they thought was going to be easier to deal with. I guess, what are your thoughts on like the dollar figures? Do you think that this makes sense based on kind of what you've seen from Kendricks on the field thus far? I mean, it kind of puts him, if you're looking at his salary in terms of kind of percent of cap versus just the raw dollars when it was signed, puts him kind of hovering around that top 10-ish range. When you think kind of off-ball linebackers, is that the range you have Kendricks in?
Yeah, I think if you factor in age and you factor in, you know, continued progression and upside, I think the numbers make sense. I think everybody was predicting 8 to 9 million a year. So I think anytime Twitter or anybody, you know, kind of has an assumption of what the number is, it usually is slightly higher. So I think it adds, it's like right in that range of what, you know, you kind of expected, 8 to 10 million. So you got that 10 million per and you got, you know, half of that guaranteed, which is, you know, a pretty good contract. But like what we've seen with the Vikings for their contracts as of late with, you know, with their players and their extensions is they don't structure these in a way that's going to hurt them. So JR did bring up the point that, you know, I was going to bring up that although I didn't expect this one to be the first one, or did I expect it to be like the priority, but it makes sense when you think about it, just the fact that he is, in terms of the numbers, in terms of, you know, having a guy that you know you can afford, he's the guy that makes sense, because out of all the guys, you can afford him the easiest, because he's likely going to be the lowest paid out of that group of four. So you get that one done and you allow the structure to allow you to kind of make the other moves. But the numbers itself themselves kind of, they do add up for what I think he's like the fourth highest middle or inside linebacker in the NFL now or something like that, in terms of the way the contracts structure with guarantees, is the second highest, got the second most guaranteed money out of an inside linebacker in the NFL behind Luke Kuechly. So kind of says something, though. It says, just kind of tells you how they feel about Eric Kendricks as a whole and where they see his future in this defense and the value there, because we talked about it. We think he's the most replaceable, but Zimmer kind of made it sound like, you know, with this makes it sound like he's not as replaceable as they might think. So that's, you know, hard to argue that, just because the numbers speak for themselves, and he can kind of be that Vontaze Burfict of this defense in that sense. He's not quite the thumper, obviously, but the role he plays in the defense, that could be a little bit more. He's not an outside linebacker, but I think the role he plays could be a little bit more of that. But yeah, Kendricks is a really good player. I don't have any issues with it, and I think if they can.
Oh no. Oh no. Did Miles just get struck by a case of the Incas?
Uh
oh. Oh no. Saxy Prince.
Okay, let's be honest. That hasn't been me for a very, very long time. So that's all Miles. He owns that.
He upgraded for that dial up.
Well, Prince, I mean, I'm sure whatever Miles had to say there was very important. Unfortunately, Miles did not upgrade his internet like Prince did. So, Prince, you bring us home on this Eric Kendricks signing. What are your thoughts? You know, 25 million is the guaranteed. Basically, 50% of the deal is guaranteed. Like Miles said, it puts him up there in terms of guaranteed money in the range of people like, you know, Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to kind of echo some of the things that everyone's been saying. I do kind of feel like the contract was maybe a little bit more than I was expecting, mostly just in terms of like the guaranteed money that he would be given. I think it was like a Reef that meta tweeted it out, but like to date, Eric Kendricks has had a good career. But when we look at someone like a Chad Greenway, who, you know, had a really great career in Minnesota, is why he stayed in Minnesota for such a long time. You know, to date really hasn't quite performed at the same level that Greenway was in at that point in his career. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Eric Kendricks has a much higher ceiling than Greenway does. But just to date, is everything that he's done at this point warranted a contract that's, you know, maybe a little bit more generous than it is as far as guaranteed money? No. I don't completely hate the contract whatsoever, and I, like the guys had said, I really thought he was going to be the last of everyone to get locked up. I definitely feel now that he has been given this contract that it just makes the most sense to go to Anthony Barr next, and maybe they're doing their contracts in order of guys who have least leverage and going that way, just because they know it's going to take a little bit longer for Diggs and Hunter. And Anthony Barr, as far as his contract, you know it's going to kind of lower that cap hit. So, like I said, I think they probably maybe are snaking it the opposite way that we thought it was going to be. And maybe Hunter or Diggs are going to be the, you know, last two that we have to lock up. So I thought it was a little bit more than I thought he was going to get, but, you know, maybe not that much more.
Okay, and since Prince brought it up, Miles, if you're back with us and you can hear us and respond, yes, who do you think is going to be the next person to get locked up?
I think it just makes sense for it to be Anthony Barr, just based off the kind of conversations we've had. Is kind of, it seems like Diggs and Hunter are going to be difficult to extend, just based off the numbers and where their market is. So I think Anthony Barr would be the guy that makes the most sense.
Okay, and JR, are we making this a clean sweep? You think it's Barr as well or somebody else?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Anthony Barr, and it really wouldn't make sense for Diggs and Hunter's reps to go to the table right now, negotiating table right now, because I think their stock could skyrocket at this point. I think their price could start skyrocket as well.
And a name that, I guess we haven't really mentioned at all as we kind of talk about the core that needs to be re-signed. I mean, do you guys see Trey Waynes as part of the future, or do you guys pretty much just kind of writing off his future and kind of looking at the draft for his replacements already?
I feel like, for me personally, I think it's basically they're going to make the decision this season between him and Mackenzie Alexander. His fifth year option number, which is, I think, going to be like in that 13-14 million range, which is quite a bit.
No, he wasn't a top 10 pick, so he good. It'll only be like 8 or 9.
Oh, is it? I swear.
Yeah, we got lucky.
It was like 13.
We got lucky.
But anyways, that we'll know that in the next couple of weeks. And if they do pick that up, I think that tells you a little bit more between him and Mackenzie Alexander where they feel that long-term investment is. Because I think it's – you can't keep both those guys, in my opinion, and you're probably not going to be able to keep both those guys. So I think it's going to be, you know, between those two, and then I think they will try to find that third guy in the draft this year.
What about you, JR?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, a guy we haven't talked about who should be considered is Nick Easton. He's a guy that's entering a contract year, and he's going to need to get paid as well. Now, obviously, he won't be as high of a priority as those other guys, but he'll definitely be looking for a bigger payday.
Rashad Hill, too, not that he'd be getting a big payday or anything, but he's a restricted or an unrestricted free agent after this year, too, I think.
Not exactly sure. I have to look that up.
But I know his numbers won't be huge or anything, but he could be a guy you want to look to extend just because of kind of the depth and growth he's shown.
Yeah, he's restricted. I just looked it up.
We're definitely not deep enough into the offseason to be digging into the Nick Easton and Rashad Hill contract situations. We'll save that for a little bit further away from the draft when we are truly, truly, truly desperate for something to talk about that is Vikings related. But those are good points. Easton, I think, just signed his tender. Rashad Hill, I mean, he's probably had to play a little bit more than we want to see him play as Vikings fans, but he's someone who stepped in when we need him. So you're right in kind of looking forward as those being key guys that we need to get locked in and locked up. But the other big news that's come in from a Vikings perspective, you know, other than, of course, you know, Nick Easton signing his tender, was the schedule. It was released today. So, of course, you know, as is the custom across, you know, sports media, Twitter, internet, all that good stuff, we have to, you know, give some predictions, some really half-baked analysis based on our seeing the schedule for about an hour and a half at this point, and predict the future. And of course, these predictions are the predictions we'll be locked into for the rest of eternity. And you can never change because, of course, it's the first thing you said, and first impressions matter and all that other good stuff. So before we get to your predictions, we'll give everyone a little bit more time to mull things over here. And I'm going to start with Yinka on this because why not? Yinka, schedule came out. What are your first impressions as you kind of look at things here?
I honestly like the schedule. I think it's a little bit more, I think it's like, I guess, favorable in the Vikings, where I don't really feel like we have these like really long stretches. I remember 2015 looking at that schedule and like, you know, there was, we went 2-2, and then we had that six game stretch where we won six games in a row, and then we had that like that NFC gauntlet that we faced. And when I look at the schedule, I love the fact that our bye is in week 10. And I love the fact that we're not really facing, we're not really facing too many of like those heavy hitting teams that really could, that could be losses or just like really, top level teams and whatnot. So I just like the way that it's spaced out. You know, we kind of alternate really between being home and at away games and whatnot. And there's really, I mean, there's some tough stretches that, you know, that week 2-5, you are going to be facing, you know, Green Bay, LA, and Philly, 3 and 4 weeks. And then, I kind of late in the season, you kind of have that stretch with Green Bay, New England, and Seattle. But I don't feel as if there's, maybe this 5 or 6 game stretch where, the Vikings could really just like completely be out of the playoff race and not really be able to.
Whoa, sir. You knocking out wood right now? Because, I mean, you're talking a little reckless, right? These are the Vikings we're talking about.
No, I know that. And I'm just saying, like, I obviously anything can happen. I'm not trying to count our wins before, they actually happen in the season. I'm just saying that, when you are facing, that basically week 12 to week 14, that can be kind of like a, that trap part of the schedule where, you're losing 3 games in a row and you need, you may need to pick up one of them versus, or you need to win at least 1 out of the 3 or 2 out of the 3. It's good that we don't have all those games kind of compact into one part of the schedule. So I like it. I think it's great that we get to start the season at home and we get to end the season at home. And I don't know. I think this is a pretty favorable schedule for the Vikings.
Like it. Miles, what about you? What are your thoughts? You kind of aligned with Prince there. You think this is a favorable schedule, or are you seeing any traps in there that maybe we might be overlooking as we kind of look at things right away?
There are definitely some traps, but I think overall, we knew who the opponents were going to be. We used to know how the schedule is going to be laid out. So I think getting the week 10 bye is always important just because I like to get the bye toward the latter end of the schedule, just because, if you're trying to make a long playoff run, you get that long time and you get more time to kind of rest before the last stretch of the season. And then, you get the early Thursday night game, which is extremely helpful because then you have 10 days to prepare for the Eagles, which is a super important game, which I think obviously they're going to go into wanting some revenge there. Sorry, Teddy is over here freaking out for no reason. That's just what he does. But overall, I just think, the schedule, you look at some of the trap games, I think obviously you have Detroit in general. We've, the way we've played them the last few years, it's been so hit and miss. So they're always a tough one. I think the Chicago Bears, I don't know what they're going to be this year. Are they going to take that next step? That could be, obviously we struggle in Chicago, historically over the past like 10 to 12 years. So that could be one of those trap games. And then obviously you look at that, teams like the Dolphins, we don't know what they're going to be this season. They've shown improvement here and there. So we'll see what Ryan Tannehill has coming back. I know. and then obviously start week 1, the 49ers. I mean, they just paid Jimmy Garoppolo a lot of money and made him their franchise quarterback, and they have the 9th overall pick, and they've made some moves. They have Jerick McKinnon, so Jerick McKinnon gets to come back to Minnesota, and revenge game for him. So we'll just kind of see how that game goes, because I think Jimmy Garoppolo had a great end of the season last year where they won like 5 straight games or something like that. So they're trying to, take that momentum into the 2018 season.
Okay. JR, you get a double question here. So your first thoughts on the schedule, and then let's run it right back through with your schedule prediction. You can get us cracking on that as well. Not your schedule prediction, but your record prediction.
Yeah, so the first thing I always look for when a schedule comes out is where the bye week is. And obviously it's in week 10, so I'm very happy about that. Now, right after that, I think that is a trap game going to Soldier Field right off of the bye. Hopefully they're not rusty. And we always know that we always struggle going to Soldier Field. And I think that backstretch is a little tough. The last five games, you talk about going to New England and going to Seattle. I think that's very tough. That's a very tough back-to-back. And then rewinding back to the beginning of the schedule, I think the first five games, I think that's a little bit of a tough road right there. You talk about Green Bay, LA Rams, and the Eagles, three out of your first five games. And also San Francisco is no slouch now. So I think it's a bit of a tough start to the schedule. And I think if they can come out of that 3-2, I think they should be fine. I think that's best case scenario for that situation. But as far as an overall prediction, I'm not expecting 13-3 this year because a lot of things went right for the Vikings last year. And obviously that goes to or lose to a health standpoint. And obviously injuries are a part of the game and we don't want to wish injuries on anybody. But I think it would be naive to think that the Vikings would stay completely healthy this year as much as they did last year. So I'm going to go with – I say they go 11-5. I think that's a fair prediction for this schedule.
I forgot to make my prediction.
No. You didn't forget. It's your turn now.
Oh, my bad. Let's
get your prediction, bro.
Look at this. I'm not even as optimistic as JR. So that's
What?
I'm just at first blush of the schedule and not seeing the draft and not, you know, kind of knowing the final pieces, the roster heading into the week one. But I'd say right now, potentially like 10-6.
Whoa. And you know, because you have to. I mean, we went 13-3 last year, Miles. We've upgraded at quarterback. We added Sheldon Richardson. The draft is still yet to come. Help me understand how we go from 13-3 to 10-6.
Well, it's a different season. I mean, like you look at some of the historical things that they did on defense with the third down conversions. They're one of the best defenses that you know on third down in NFL history. No major injuries to the defense. That was a big one, I think. Just the overall, I don't even know how to explain it. I just think some of the way that things, you know, went for the team last season, we might not see some of that in 2018 just because of the historically, you know, year-over-year defense like we talk about. Not that I expect a major regression from the defense or anything like that, but, you know, there could be one. So, you know, they're not going to get off the field as often as you'd like them to and just stuff like that. So, some things just might not swing their way for some of the way that they did in 2017.
Okay. Saxy Prince, which way are you going with it? Are you going to be more optimistic, less optimistic? What is your prediction for the schedule? I mean, for the record of the Vikings as we, you know, see the schedule now and see how it's all laid out.
I have the Vikings right now. I'm with Miles. I'm roughly at 10-6. You could obviously push them to... You could push them to maybe 12-4. I think low end, maybe around a 9-7. I think they have too good of a roster to be anything lower than that.
Where are you right now?
I'm at Cooley's apartment. Hold on.
Okay. All right. So Saxy Prince is on the move, as is his custom.
And he doesn't have as good Wi-Fi. He doesn't have as good a Wi-Fi as I do, but... Anyways,
Ian could just say he had good Wi-Fi.
Hey, don't even talk, Mr. A drop call. So, anyways,
you already dropped off this pod earlier.
What? Yeah, because Coolin called.
I mean, you both kind of dropped off a couple times. So, I mean,
anyways, I definitely feel like because like I said earlier, I think the schedule is pretty favorable for the Vikings. So, I really do feel like double digit wins is more than doable. I think my ceiling probably 12-4, floor roughly around 9-7. I do feel 10-6 is probably what's going to end up being.
Okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, you being real Miles right now, taking like every side of this thing and not giving me
an answer. My first thing that I said was 10-6, okay, but then
you're locked in. So yeah, 10-6 for you.
You're like talking yourself into like 9-7 there for a minute.
10-6 for Prince.
I was just explaining my floor and ceiling.
And 11-5 for JR.
And Jason's about to say 7-9, right?
No. I'm in that same range as y'all, but I'll go with JR. I'll roll with the 11-5. 11-5 feels okay. Until Vegas puts out their over-unders, then I might switch it up.
Always go, but the over-unders are always way less than what your expectation is, though.
I mean, that can't be the case, or Vegas wouldn't make any money, would they?
Minnesota's was, what, 9?
What, last year?
Yeah.
I mean, did any of us think they were winning 13 games before the season started?
No, nah. But I'm saying, like...
No way.
I'm just saying in terms of, like, what Vegas does, like, the overall, like, if you have, like, New England at 14, you're not going to go... You're not going to push that. You're always going to go under.
You're right. For New England. But for us, I feel like they were in a range that made some sense.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you say 9, that's not like a completely off-the-wall prediction, yeah, though.
Yeah, you're right. You know, as always, you know, Miles is correct.
Duh.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Miles. Sorry for doubting you. All right. That's enough Vikings. It's draft season. Draft's a week away. So, you know, it's plug time. You know, for these last couple of weeks, we've been running through these top fives. And if you haven't been listening, you know, you can go over to climbingthepocket.com. They're all out there for you. First week, we really put JR to work. But now, you know, Miles is in the hot seat. We dropped his tight end episode yesterday. He's got some good stuff coming up next week. So definitely check those out. And also, because I didn't do it at the beginning of the show, you maybe thought that we were going to get away from us shilling on the episode, but that's definitely not happening. If you haven't already done it, make your way on over to climbingthepocket.com, find the 2018 draft guide, click the link, send the money, get the guide, support a great cause, get all the research that you need done by the one and only JR, help you get yourself ready, help you be like JR. I mean, you won't maybe go do a laptop, but you can print it out maybe. And as the draft is going, you can start scratching names off, help you understand who you want your team to pick next. Supporting a great cause, best value that you can find for draft guides anywhere right now. So go on and do that. It's only $5. And the guide is great. I would pay way more money for it. And yeah, that's it. All right. So I think all the shilling out that we need to do for this. So it's rapid fire time, because we have been doing these top fives. And it's rapid fire, so I don't need a bunch of analysis from y'all. Just, you know, quick hitter here. Who's your player? And then just a quick why. So, JR, start with you. Of all the players that are not in your positional top five, who's your favorite?
Ooh, my favorite will probably be Fred Warner, the linebacker from BYU.
JR says that like that's someone that I'm even supposed to have any idea about. Tell me a little bit about Fred Warner then, because I've never even heard that name until you said this right now, and I feel like you might be making it up.
No, I'm not making it up at all. I think he's a very good player. I actually have an early third-round grade on him right now. He's a guy that went down to the Senior Bowl, and he performed very well. 6'3", about 235 pounds, I believe that's what he was, at the combine. Very instinctive. He's a guy that can probably be a Sam or a Will linebacker, but he's played all over the field for BYU, and a guy that just flies all over the field, and you can use him in a multitude of ways, and he has a lot of versatility.
Okay, yeah, like that. Miles, how about you? Favorite player that you wouldn't say would be in your top five across the positions?
It's pretty easy. Deshaun Hamilton.
Oh.
From Penn State, wide receiver.
That's your boy.
Yeah, he's in my top 10, but he's not my top 5. I think he's the best, or if not the best, so, you know, one of the top route runners in the entire class.
Okay. All right. How are his hands? I'm playing. And Prince, how about you, man? Who's your favorite player across all the positions who wouldn't find his way into your top 5?
I've been watching a little bit more tape as far as him. He's not in my top 5, but I do really like him. Lorenzo Carter.
Not in your top 5.
He's not in my top 5 right now. But I think he could be a sneaky, you know, tie fifth pick or whatever the case is. But I think he would fit really well in the Mike Zimmer defense. I think he could, like, Zimmer could mold him into being just like a really stud, you know, kind of defensive end, standing linebacker, hybrid role. Part of the reason why I like him is, like, I can see some of the tools that Zimmer could really, you know, kind of mold into just being an amazing player. So,
Are you evaluating him as a off-ball linebacker or edge or
what? I think I'm still looking at. I think I'm still looking at him as kind of a. It's kind of like that Anthony Barr defensive end, a linebacker hybrid. So, you know, obviously he can put his hand in the dirt, and also just be a stand-up linebacker. I would love to see him, you know, kind of in, you know, when we're in kind of our nickel defense as being a stand-up linebacker, with Eric Kendricks, if. You know, that were to happen over the cases. So, yeah, that's my guy.
All right. Not in his top five. We might have to come back to that in another episode. Okay. But I don't want to derail us right now, get, you know, JR and Yinka going at it over these draft prospects. So we'll table that for another time. But JR, you are back on the spot because you got some folks, some winners, some folks who are getting some free stuff from you. And some shout outs. So who are the winners for the draft trivia for this week?
Yeah, definitely. So this is just the idea that we all came up with and just a way to get the draft guide out and get people more engaged. And I wanted to ask you guys these questions, too, to see if you knew them. So Monday's question, the winner was Zach Ziegler, and he's at Zach Ziegler 24. We also had another winner. They actually tweeted it out at the exact same time. It was Kent Weyrouch. I believe that's how you pronounce it. My apologies if I did butcher your last name. And that's at CCNP_Kent. So congratulations to those two guys winning the prize. So the question was, when was the last time a position other than quarterback, offensive tackle, or a defensive end was drafted with the number one overall pick? Who was the player and which draft was it? So I won't get that detail with you guys. So do you know who the player was?
Well, I'm just going to say no. So we can get the answer. I knew
the answer. I forgot the year, though.
What's the player? What's the answer?
It always pops up in my head just because it was a wide receiver. It's Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, that's who it was.
All right.
I always forget the year, though.
1996 with the Jets.
Ooh, just give him the damn ball. Okay, next question.
Yeah, so Tuesday's winner was Matthew Peters, and it's at Matt_Peters with two S's on the end. So congratulations to Matt. Tuesday's question was, what year did the NFL move its draft format to a three-day event rather than its old two-day format?
2004.
Incorrect.
I don't know. What's the answer?
2010.
Oh, that was late. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wednesday's question was, the winner was Landon Boster, and that's at Landon Boster. Congratulations, Landon, on winning your draft guide. Wednesday's question was, what's the record for most players drafted in the first round from one school in the same year?
Six, Miami.
2004.
Yeah. Boom. Good job. Boom. I read that on your Twitter. So.
I figured that you answered it too fast.
Yeah.
What was it that it was Andre Johnson, Frank Gore?
Oh, I don't know the exact players.
I can't remember.
That's interesting. I have to look that up. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out. And then did you do one today?
Yeah, so I actually misworded this question, and a lot of people were actually tricked by it. But we did end up having a winner, and that's Andrew Lenach. And his at name is actually Rusty_Jerry. I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but congratulations on winning your draft guide. Today's question was, or yesterday's, excuse me, Thursday's question was, which team has used a first-round pick the last three times they've drafted a quarterback, and who were they? This was a bit of a tricky question. So the answer was Byron Leftwich, Blaine Gabbert, and Blake Bortles. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. And a Rusty Jerry apparently is a thing that you put water in or something. Or a gas can.
I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Internet, for teaching me something new. All right. We get through all the draft trivia, all the shout-outs. We good?
We did. Congratulations to all the winners.
Yes, sir. And, you know, you too can be a winner. It only costs you $5. Send that on over. You get a draft guide too. But all right. The thing that I think that I know I'm most looking forward here is that, you know, it is draft season, and it's not, you know, every year that, you know, a person who's connected to the show has someone that they know closely and know well who is going through preparation for the draft. And that's the situation that we have this year. So we get the unique opportunity, I guess not so unique. I've seen, you know, Kunle on a couple other podcasts this week, but we'll call it unique anyway, because I want to feel special. Unique opportunity to, you know, interview someone who's going through the draft process, you know, ask some questions about how it all is working for him here. And yeah, so we got Kunle Allende, Yinka's brother, coming on with us tonight. And yeah, we're going to chop it up, figure out how things are going with him through this whole draft prep process. So yeah, without further ado, I guess Kunle, you out there?
Yeah, I am. I'm right here.
Awesome. Awesome. So we will get this thing going. And before we jump into all this, I guess, the draft prep stuff, what was Yinka like when y'all were growing up?
That's a good question. Yinka was very, Yinka was very, I don't know. He was into music, so I vibed with him in that sense that we could just sit down and talk about music, and I play with him. Like, we always like had mutual interests, so it was never really any conflict between me and him growing up.
Okay, so he didn't like get you in trouble all the time or anything like that?
Nah.
No, I was the reverse, man.
I was the one in trouble, if anybody.
Okay. And I guess tell us a little bit about your story, your journey, I guess, playing for the Gophers and kind of how all that went for you.
It was good for me. I mean, I guess I could say I was always pretty much the underdog as far as coming up, because nobody really thought I'd be in the position I was. And I guess coming into it, that was my goal, but I didn't, you know, you don't really know the process of how you're going to get to that goal until stuff kinds of fall into order. So, I mean, I walked out into the U, and then after a year or two, I played, I think it was my sophomore year. I actually got to start 11, 12 games. And then that's when I had earned a scholarship to play for the U. And then from there, I mean, I kind of flourished, made my plays when I had the opportunities. And then it was a good experience for me. I mean, I got to meet a lot of people, got to network. I mean, it was a good experience, I think, for me and my family.
And that's awesome. And then, and you know, one of the things that really stood out is, you know, obviously we've, you know, talked to Yinka about you, and then, you know, going and doing a little bit of research about you here is that, I mean, you played a lot of positions for them out there. I guess, what was it like playing so many different positions, you know, throughout your career?
I mean, I was always in the film room. So, I mean, it was kind of just, it was different because, I mean, even this year, I went from playing safety and nickel Purdue 1 week. And then next week I'm playing corner against Michigan State. So it was just kind of, it was cool to me to know that that coaches had the trust in me to do that. But at the same time, I mean, we're down players. So it was just kind of, it was my job and opportunity to step up. And I think it was something I just had to take advantage of. I mean, countless times with just me just going in and bringing people in and watching film and stuff like that. That was the only way to really prepare. So I just had to take those extra times where, I mean, going through college, being tired from class and weights and all that, but sometimes you just got to make those sacrifices.
Cool. Kunle, I got a question for you. This is Miles here. Out of all the positions you played, where do you see yourself in terms of, like, in the NFL, at the NFL level? Like, what's your favorite position? What position do you envision for yourself the most?
I would say safety and slot nickel, because those are the kind of play I feel like I can flourish in those kind of positions. That's where I feel most confident. I mean, corner was something that, I mean, I just added to my repertoire as far as like having the film and stuff like that. But as far as like comfortability, I feel best probably at safety and at nickel.
Which would you prefer free safety or strong safety in that case?
Either or, honestly, I could play in. I feel like I can play in space, and I can also play in the box as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, Kunle, JR here. Thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Just describe what the pre-draft process has been like. I know some teams have been calling you. You obviously don't have to list the teams that have been calling you, but just what has the experience been like and what's it like to take it all in to this point?
I mean, for a guy like me, I mean, with my projection as far as like what people have told me and asking around, it's just kind of like you're playing that waiting game. You're always just kind of staying ready and making sure that whatever opportunity you do get, you make the most of it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just always just, you know, taking steps towards what I'm ready to do as far as being in the film, taking that extra hour to do recovery on my body, just chopping it up with different people I know that are already in the league and doing what I'm trying to do and just kind of pick their brains and, like, learn how they went about the process and stuff like that. So that's helped me a lot.
And what would you say you're looking forward to the most as you kind of look ahead to, you know, the draft or even after the draft?
Honestly, I would say just getting an opportunity with the team and then learning how to become a better football player and professional within the NFL from older veterans and stuff like that. I think that's what I'm most excited for. And obviously getting on the field and playing is a dream. So just getting that opportunity is just something I can't wait for.
Well, that's awesome. That's all the questions, I guess, that we had. I guess
actually, parents. I have one more real quick.
Every time, Miles.
I know.
What you got for me?
With this process, like, you know, the Gophers have some, you know, some players in the NFL playing right now. Have you been in touch with any of those guys and, you know, just getting some advice from some of these guys, you know, you used to play with?
Of course. It's always love when you see some of the old teammates. I got to talk to guys like Brian Boddy when the Super Bowl came around and kind of just talked to him about how his years have been going in the league. Guys like Sed Thompson, who's getting shots in and out of the league. Guys like Demaryius Travis. All those guys have come, reached out to me and talked to me. I was training with Devondre Campbell. So, I mean, Damian Wilson, countless guys that I've talked to and seen and kind of just had the opportunity just to, you know, pick their minds and just talk about the process and, like, what's it like being in the NFL. I mean, you can only dream and, like, you know, you don't really know until you actually are in it, you know. So just kind of getting as prepared as I can and getting as educated as I can for myself just so I can come in with confidence and just set myself out for the right opportunities.
Yeah, that's awesome. Somebody's got to pay for all of Yinka's acting lessons, so that makes sense.
Miles, fire it.
Shout out to Yinka and that movie he got coming out. That he's
yeah.
Gotta get the plug.
Prince, we'll give you the last word here since, you know, we got Miles firing shots at you. Any questions you want to ask? Or do you think you want to get on the record before we let Kool-Aid get out of here?
You better shoot your shot.
I guess I have to shoot my shot. You know, I've he's Fortnite a little bit right now. So hey, I guess I would say excited, yeah. I guess I would ask, you know, what's an ideal team that you kind of are, you know, the situation you would like to go to most, like what kind of scheme fit or maybe coach that you really like that's in the league right now, where would you hope to go to if you had the opportunity to pick a team?
I mean, honestly, whatever team that gives me a fair shot, I mean, some teams aren't in the position to pick up a player like me, I guess I could say, but some teams are, so depending on if the numbers are right, that I could get a fair shot and fair opportunity. I'm with whatever team. Honestly, I'm just trying to get my foot in the door and establish myself. And then from there, I mean, the film will speak for itself. So, I mean, ideal teams, I can't really say. I mean, getting on a team is ideal for me, honestly. So
yeah,
that's my best way to answer that question.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And my last question for you is, how disappointed in Yinka were you when you found out that he would be at Infinity War on opening night of the draft instead of watching the draft?
This is news to me, so. So now that you said that, damn, you ain't gonna come on. man, damn, you shooting shots tonight, huh? So, I didn't know, so. Damn.
Yeah, so I'll get to miss my brother get drafted in the first round.
So. Well, that's what we got, Miles. I'm saying it again. Miles, okay, well, that's all we got for you.
I'm also known Yinka's pocket at the movie theater, Kunlander, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, Kunlander, no matter what.
That's all we got for you tonight, man. So we'll let you get back to what you were doing. And, yeah, man, good luck. We know we'll be cheering for you.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you having me on. And if you guys got Instagrams, Twitters, follow me. Twitter, KingKunlai45. Instagram, Kunlai_Yende.
Yes, sir. All right. Plug. We got it. Well, I guess, you know, that was the last part of the episode. Anyone got anything to plug before we get out of here? Any upcoming work, articles, other than JR's draft guide?
Mock draft coming Monday.
Oh, yeah, we got some mock drafts that we're supposed to be doing up here. So yours is dropping Monday?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, I'll probably mock draft coming out after this weekend, too.
So are you doing, like, every pick in the first round, JR? Are you doing Vikings only? Like, but what's this mock draft going to look like?
Every pick in the first round with trades.
With trades?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's do this. Miles, you got anything? Any mocks? I guess fake draft Friday is tomorrow, so.
Yeah, I'm doing my mock draft Friday tomorrow, my last one. And I'm going to put them together and kind of – because I've been trying to keep them so they're not just, you know, completely off the wall difference. Like, you know, I try to keep somewhat of a consistency there. So I'll try to compare and contrast them.
All right. Well, that's it, listeners. You know, thank you for sticking with us. It's a fun episode. I mean, for us anyway. I hope it was for y'all, too. And, yeah, gentlemen, as always, thank you for coming on and, you know, chopping it up, talking some football with me today. And, yeah, we'll be back with you soon. Miles, I think you're the next person in the hot seat. I think your next thing will be the next thing dropping. So, yeah, y'all have a good one.